Well, we can leave now and say it's been good, truly been good, to be in the house of the Lord. We praise Him for His work, His operation, His grace, His intervention, His salvation, His love, His mercy. I praise Him for who He is and what He's wrought for His people.
Glory to God.
Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And I thank Him for dying for mine. And you know, it's not only wonderful to be accepted with God. The Bible tells us that we are accepted with God through the Lord Jesus. But there's that inward work that God does in us. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank Him for what He's wrought and what He's done. None of us have anything to boast of except the Lord Jesus. And we praise Him for coming to this world. We praise Him for living a perfect life and honoring the Father. We praise Him for dying for our sins. We praise Him for His burial, the removal of our sins. We thank Him for His resurrection, power over our sins. We thank Him that He sits at the Father's right hand tonight, making intercession for us according to the will of God. We thank Him that we have a representative in heaven, someone who has a heart for us, someone who sympathizes with us. He lived in a body just like yours and mine. And He sits in that body tonight, although in a glorified fashion. Therefore, He has a heartbeat for us and the needs of our lives. And I thank Him. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly or confidently or assuredly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, that's for our sins, and find grace, that's for our strength and sustenance, to help in a time of need. Bless His name tonight for His full salvation. Good to see each one of you here tonight. Enjoyed all the good songs and the drawing power of God. Enjoyed the girls ministering to us in music and in song. The good spirit. Thank the Lord for saving this dear brother tonight. I believe we've worshiped God here. I've enjoyed every phase of it. Have you? I have struggled in my heart throughout the day about this service. You see, I can't see as far as God can. He knew all this was going to happen. But I'd like to take just a few minutes tonight as God would enable me. Unless someone else has something they need to say. I want it understood. I've not come here tonight just to preach. I've come here to please God.
Amen.
Worship Him. Is there anybody that needs to say something or obey God in any area tonight? Yeah, you do that. You do that. That's right. Bless His holy name. Yes. Yes. That's why we're here, is to praise Him. He's the center of our attention. He said, you remember Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, There am I where? Yeah, he's the center of attention. And you remember when John saw him from the isle called Patmos in the heavenly vision. He said he beheld a lamb as it had been slain, standing in the midst of the throne. He's the center of attention in heaven. While the ages roll, we'll not be talking about how beautiful the golf course is in heaven, as I heard one fella say. And we'll not be talking about dangling our feet in some river. But we'll be magnifying Christ, exalting the Lord Jesus. He's God's centerpiece of worship. And I praise Him tonight for who He is and His place in His people. I'm going to read a few verses from 1 Samuel chapter 1. Last night we looked at him in a measure at Hannah's terrible predicament. Tonight I'd like to pass over her prayer. I said a few things about her prayer last night, but I'd like to say a few things tonight about her trustful presentation. She gives Samuel back to the God who has given Samuel to her. With the Lord's help, I'd like to encourage us to give back to Him what He's given to us. Verse 21, and the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. That is, up to Shiloh, where the tabernacle was. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. Of course, when she says forever, she's saying for the rest of his life, I'm going to give him totally to God. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent or given him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. I'd like to magnify that though this is a time of sadness when a mother will leave her child in Shiloh, the place of worship, with a man that we learned last night is not really all he ought to be. And yet the Bible says that she had wept before, she had cried, she had looked unto the Lord, but though this is a sad time, she's not weeping this time. Oh, You see, every sad time's not a time of weeping. It's like leaving people in the will of God. There's not sadness to weeping. We rejoice in it. And so this, really from the human standpoint, is a sad time. But she has no tears because she's trusting God with her son. I'd love for God to help each one of us to trust God with our son tonight or whatever he's given us. And I love Elkanah's attitude. I'm just giving a few general comments and then we're going to look at these verses. She said to Elkanah, I'm not going to go up to the tabernacle till I wean the boy. And all he said was, the Lord established his word. He's turned it all over to God too. I couldn't help but think of the verse, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto him. So I want to say a few things tonight about turning it all over to him. Presenting what's already his back to him. First of all, I want to mention the laws of presentation. She followed what I think to be some sort of a pattern in presenting little Samuel. For those of you who weren't here last night, you remember she went up to the tabernacle and prayed earnestly. In fact, she was in such a frenzy about her praying that poor Eli, the priest, thought she was drunken. And she said, no, I'm not drunken. She said, I'm just pouring out my soul to the Lord. And Eli said, well, he said, your prayer be answered. And she left and went in peace with assurance that God was going to give her that child. Well, in the scene tonight, the boy's growing up. She's still nursing him. According to Jewish tradition, she would nurse him until he was approximately 3 years of age. And so he's not an older boy. He's a young child. And yet she knows that she's to take him up there like she promised God. I would mention firstly then, the Bible says in verse 24, that when she weaned him, she took him up with her, that is, to the tabernacle, with three bullocks. Verse 25 says, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. You'll notice the first principle in her time of presentation was the law of offering. You see, there's no way we can present ourselves to God or what he's given us unless we come through the offering that God has arranged. In her case, it was a bullock. Now, the Lord Jesus has come and offered himself as the acceptable sacrifice before the Father. And so we're to give what he's given us back to him on the basis of what Christ did on the cross. Somebody said, well, I just feel like I need to do this. Or somebody might say, well, I think they expect this of me. Well, you better junk all of that. We come to God on the basis and through the merits of Christ's sacrificial death. Here the blood had to be shed. And the book of Hebrews tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. And so firstly, the law of presentation was the law of offering. Ah, thank God the Lord Jesus offered himself up without spot unto God. Notice a second law. I'm calling it the law of order. She not only brought a sacrifice, but she offered that sacrifice before she gave or offered little Samuel. You see, that's not only the basis, but there's the order. Christ the first fruits, and them that follow. Now, the Lord Jesus' death. Somebody said, well, I've got to die. Yeah, but you only die to your sin because the Lord Jesus died for sin.
Amen.
It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. And so, before she ever brought the boy to Eli, she brought the offering to God. That's the order. That's the order. It isn't that we bless God so his son can get some attention. No, but his son has been offered that we might be blessed and that we might find mercy. Let me hasten to add, the laws of presentation not only involve the law of offering, a sacrifice had to be given, and the law of order, a sacrifice was first. We can't offer what God has given us back to him until we realize that God has offered himself in his son for our sins. That's the order. But notice, thirdly, there's the law of obedience. Now, this matter of turning our lives over to the God who has blessed us in Christ involves obeying that still small voice and obeying God's plan for our lives. You remember, she did not come to the tabernacle just to ask God for a child. She came that first time to ask God for a child that she might give back to him. It's a whole lot of difference. If we're not careful, we'll find ourselves, say, oh, Lord, bless us, Lord, bless us. Help us, Jesus, help us. Oh, Lord, pour out. Oh, we want you blessed. No, no, no. We must go further and say, Lord, if you please to bless us, we'd like to turn around and give you the blessing for thy kind. Thy mercy. And so she's just doing what God, what she told God she was going to do. She's obeying him.
Amen.
God puts his finger on different areas of our lives, doesn't he?
Yes, thank
you. You know, that was a time when God dealt with me about my cue stick. I love to shoot pool. They call it billiards, you know, now, but it used to be just plain old pool hall. And I loved it. Oh, I loved it. And I got good at it. Old man Jim Bell, old timer there in town, he showed me how to operate on a pool table. He'd move slow. He wouldn't just get up there and shoot. He'd analyze it and look it over. And he taught me how to do that. Take my time, then shoot the ball in the corner pocket, bounce it off the side. And God got to dealing with me about being down there at the pool hall. I was telling everybody I was trying to serve the Lord now, but I was still hanging on to that cue stick. I wasn't betting anymore. I wasn't trying to clean everybody's pockets out. But I was still going down there. And everybody that came by saw me there. And God got to dealing with me about that cue stick. I don't think I ever asked it in this form, but this is sort of what I had in my mind. Was what does God need with a cue stick? But you see, he really didn't need my cue stick. But he had to put his finger on the cue stick to get more of me.
Right, right.
Sort of like Abraham offering Isaac. God told him to offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering on one of the mountains in the land of Moriah. And God really didn't want Isaac. You remember what happened when Abraham came to the point of being willing to slay Isaac. A ram was caught in the thicket, and the Lord aroused that ram, and Abraham saw it, and God told him to offer the ram in the stead of Isaac. You see, God really didn't want Isaac. He wanted more of Abraham. And so there's the law of obedience. Somebody said, well, I don't know why God's dealing with me about it. You don't have to wonder about it. It's called doing what he tells you to do. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I ought not tell this. Somebody misunderstand it. But when I was about 21 years of age, I was in a service. And there was a missionary there that I had gone to school with. I did not know that the missionary had said some ugly things about me. I was just getting started in evangelism, traveling, going from church to church. I don't know if there was a little jealousy there or he had heard something I preached that didn't tally up with his theories or what, but he had said some pretty ugly things. Well, God so dealt with me in that service. I'm talking about God dealing with me, just like smothering me. And I'm not recommending anybody else do this. But I felt like God wanted me to leave the seat where I was and to crawl up to the altar. So I said, that's silly. That's what I thought. But I did it. And a year later, there was a knock on my door at a motel down in the edge of Georgia. I opened up the door, and there stood that missionary. And he said, Tom, I've been carrying this around for a year. He said, when we was in that service together, I had said some things about you to some other people that wasn't nice. And he said, then I saw you crawl up there to that altar. And I said, I know, that was embarrassing, I know. But I felt like the Lord wanted me to. He said, well, the Lord wants you to do it all right. He said, he's dealt with me a year about what I said. That if a man would crawl up to the altar like that, how could I say anything about his walk with God? And he said, I've really been miserable about it, and I found out you was down here, and I wanted to come and apologize to you. And he did. And we had a good time of prayer and fellowship. You see, it's not important what I think or you think. It's how God arranges things. And again, I'm not encouraging anybody to embarrass themselves like that unless God would deal with you. The law of obedience. The law of obedience. We could talk about that the rest of the night. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Let me mention quickly not only the laws of presentation. Hannah followed the law of offering. She brought a bullock. She followed the law of order. She did that first before she brought little Samuel and gave him to Eli. And then there's the law of obedience. She's just doing what she told God she's going to do back yonder. I wonder what you're trying to hang on to that's God's anyhow. He gave it. You can't give to God what you don't have, but you can give what he's given you. Secondly, I would mention not only the laws of presentation, but we're confronted here with the Lord of presentation. And really, this is where my burden is tonight. I want to just say a few words about the God who's bigger than everything. First of all, let me point out that Hannah believed that God was bigger than her environment. The tabernacle and Eli and his boys really didn't seem to be a match. The tabernacle was a place where God's holiness was honored. And the law of sacrifice was brought to God. But Eli was spiritually dull. You remember he thought she was drunken. And it seems here at this point, when she came back 3 years later, he doesn't even remember her. She had to tell him who she was, why she's coming back with this boy. And his sons, they had sinned greatly around the tabernacle. We're told that they tried to get the women who came to the tabernacle to commit adultery with them. Right there at the place of worship. It's a bad situation. And by the way, church is not the answer. The Lord Jesus is the answer. So I said, well, I know some churches as well there. I do too. But you got to look beyond that. You got to see him. He's the only Savior. And Hannah, though I would say to her, honey, don't leave that boy there at that tabernacle. Don't leave that little boy for that poor, spiritually blind priest Eli to raise. Please, Hannah, don't leave that little boy around those two fellas, Hophni and Phinehas. Oh, please, Hannah, keep that boy at the house and raise him. You trying to seek after God? Why don't you just raise him at the house? But God was bigger to her than what the bad things that were going on down there at the tabernacle. So I said, well, my children, I don't think they'll ever make it if they're affected by the educational system. I don't think they'll ever make it. God's bigger than the educational system. Even Moses was trained in the schooling and the processes of education in Egypt. But God called him out at the burning bush and used him mightily in bringing the Israelites out of Egypt. So I said, well, I tell you, I'm just a little let down in brother so-and-so. And, my children, my family, we've hung around those people a good bit. I'm just a little let down. Well, I'm going to tell you, God is bigger than all the environments and all the atmospheres. That doesn't mean we're putting our approval on them. That doesn't mean we're saying amen, go ahead and just walk right on in them. But I'm saying some people can't operate the way others do. It's impossible. But that doesn't mean God can't be God in adverse circumstances. Let me mention further, Hannah's faith not only believed God was bigger than the environment, but she believed God was bigger than all the eras around her. Now, you know this, some people hang on to bad things that happen all their life. Well, I'm not going back to church because they had a man over there when I was a boy that did some bad things. Well, God's bigger than somebody else's errors. Hannah could have said, I'm not taking him back. I know I told the Lord I'd take him back, but he thought I was drunken. Who wants to have a priest like that? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to have a preacher like that. I'm not going to have a Sunday school teacher like that. I'm not going to go around singers like that. I'm not going to get around a church like that. Listen, God's bigger than all men's errors. And there are plenty of them. In fact, right here tonight, there's some major things that have happened back down the road that affected many of us negatively. Oh, I could use a few excuses tonight. Why do I want to go over there and preach such and such church? I've preached at other churches like that. They didn't take care of me. Sent me on my way and said, God bless you. Didn't take up an offering. I'll just tell you one thing, I'm not going to go. Now, wouldn't that be silly? When God in heaven is bigger than all their errors. So I said, well, I tell you, I have heard God is bigger than all the yang-yang that people have heard. Lord, have mercy. If we operate on what's been heard. Somebody said, do they really believe that? Do they really have? Is so-and-so really of that opinion? Is that the truth? Is that really the way they live? I tell you one thing. I think that's a little harsh. I think that's a little strict that they think you're supposed to go to church every time a door's open. I tell you, it's just a little harsh. They really believe. Listen, God is bigger than everybody's opinions and everybody's faults and things. In fact, I hope you don't get to know me too well, because you'll get a little upset because Tom's imperfect. Of course, if I went home with you a little while, I'd probably pick out a few blemishes over there too. The only one that you can say I find no fault in him is the Lord Jesus. And we're worshiping him. Of course, I know there's some people, they're so far down the road, boy, you just ought to rub shoulders with them about twice a month, because they're so pure and holy and precious. And boy, they're really way on down the road with God. But I'm just trying to be honest. I've lived with myself long enough to know that I am not always what I ought to be. God's bigger than the environments of men. God is bigger than the eras of men. And God is bigger than the enemies of men. Do you remember Hannah's enemy at home? I talked about her a little bit last night. Peninnah. She had plenty of children, and poor Hannah didn't have any. And instead of saying to her, God bless you, Hannah, I'm praying for you, honey, she provoked her. The Bible doesn't say, but you know, she probably sang something like, I've got children and you don't. I've got children but you don't. You reckon? Just provoking her, aggravating her. But hold on! Look, coming up there to that tabernacle. That little woman that had nothing to offer God. God has heard her prayer, and she's named him Samuel, which means asked of God. And she's bringing back to God what God has brought to her. And Peninnah will have to eat all her provoking. She'll have to bow down to all her attitudes. Because God has proved himself bigger than the enemies. Huh? A fella told me the week that I tried to turn my life over to God. I was really trying. I had still had a long ways to go. But I was trying to give myself to God. If God would speak to me, I'd try to bow to him. And a man told me, he said, it'll take me years before I believe you've got the goods. Well, I guess you ought to. I stole his hubcaps, throwed rocks at his dog. He had a little room. I'm going to tell you, 20 years passed, and they put him in a grave, and here I am tonight. God vindicates those who try to follow him, try to give themselves to. Somebody said, I want to serve the Lord, but I just don't know if I can. Well, in your strength, you can't. But if you'll give back to God what God's given you, he'll enable you. Little Samuel is left up at the tabernacle because Hannah believed God was bigger than her enemy. It's called turning over to God what he's turned over to you. Presentation. One other word tonight in Hannah's trustful presentation. We not only see the laws of presentation and the Lord of presentation. That's the big issue. But we see the life of presentation. The Bible said that she said to Eli in verse 27 and 28, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord." This is the life of presentation. It's not turning something over to God and then trying to get it back. But it's yielding a life to him. You'll notice, first of all, the life was a life of surrender. She turned him over without any hesitation. Oh, I believe she must have had a heart heavy at times. She missed him. But she had given him to God, a life of surrender. And then there was a life of service. She's leaning to the Lord and the service of the Lord at the tabernacle. Eli is going to help him, though he has his blemishes. God's going to use Eli to point Samuel in the right direction towards God. He's going to serve there in the tabernacle. You know, God desires us to turn over to him what he's turned over to us. Just out of surrender, he wants our lives. But he also wants to use us in various capacities. I met an interesting fellow recently. He wanted to change oil in my car. And I said, "You mean there at your house?" "No," he said, "I got a shop." I said, "Well, that'll be fine." I said, "I'll have to mark it down. The thing's still under warranty. I'll have to let them know I've been working on it. Got it done." He said, "Oh, that's fine. I can give you a bill on that." So I took my car down there. He said, "Now, preacher, there's several other people's cars here." He said, "You take my truck back to the motel and come back down here about 1 or 2 o'clock. I said, "That'll be fine." I really didn't want to stay down there anyhow. That's not my world. And so I got his truck. He had dual exhaust. Had 283 motor in that thing, son. I went roaring out of there. The preacher, here he comes. And I came back to the motel. I shoved her up in second gear and just, you know, roared it out a little. I went back about 2 o'clock to pick up my car, and there it was. He had it all. He said, "I did not only change the oil, checked all your fluids." And he said, "You wipe a windshield wiper." He said, "This snow, you must have used all of it." He said, "I had to put a bunch of fluid in there for the windshield wiper." We talked. And I said, "Well, now, how much I owe you?" He said, "You don't owe me anything." He said, "I've done charged these other people." He said, "I'm not going to charge you too." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, I charged them a good, it wasn't anything extra. I did them right, but he said, "Preacher," he said, "when God saved me about 4 years ago," he said, "I told the Lord that I realized that he'd been merciful to me and kept me out of hell and he could have his shop too. And he said, every now and then I have to do something for God's man, the pastor, somebody like you coming through, or a missionary, or some dear widow woman that I know just barely getting by." He said, "It's the Lord's shop. It's not mine." I thought, oh boy, here's a fellow just, he hadn't been in this family long, but he's found out something about giving himself as a life in a life of service. Where'd we get the silly idea that you can't serve God unless you're in the pulpit? Or you can't serve God unless you're on the platform? Well, you can serve God wherever you are. Let's give to God what he's given to you. Then this one sort of troubled me a little bit. I close with this. The life of presentation is not only a life of surrender and a life of service, but it's a life of solitude. The Christian life is not a life on how to win friends and influence people. We want to be used of God, and we want to love people. And that's a needed element in this hour. Let's take them like they are. We'd be just like them if God hadn't saved us. Let's take them where they are. Love them where they are. I know it'll scare them because they're not used to that. But love them anyhow. However, you can expect if you turn back over to God what He's turned over to you, you can expect some loneliness. Solitude. You feel it in your heart at times. Feel it in your mind. Feel it when you walk through a business. Here comes a preacher. Here comes a preacher. What's that mean? He's a Christian. Watch out. Don't say anything. Don't cuss while he's in here. Solitude. Solitude. You think Hannah didn't feel alone when she took that little boy up there and left him? You think a little 3-year-old boy didn't feel alone when his mama left him up there? This thing of turning everything over to God can bring us into times of solitude. But it's more blessed to give back to Him than it is even to receive. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. It starts out with God. He lets it pass through our lives and it comes back to God. Same principle with rain. The rain comes down, fills up the pond, fills up the lake, fills up the stream. Then the sun comes out and draws that water back up to the source from whence it came. And in the spiritual walk, God blesses us and works in us and gives to us that in due season it'll all be back to Him in glory and honor to His name. You've probably heard the story about Bill Borden, the young man in the Borden milk family. God saved Bill. And when he told his dad got mad and said, "Well, I had plans for you and the family." And Bill said, "Well, the Lord saved me, Daddy. I'm going to have to serve Him." And then God burdened Bill to go to the mission field. And his family could have seen him by themselves. But instead, they withheld their blessing. And Bill went to the mission field somewhat without. After a little while, he contacted malaria. And in his little house, he died. And they found these words in his Bible when they found his body. Bill Borden, who had paid the price and give back to God what God had given him, he wrote, "No regrets, no returns, no reserve." He turned it all over to Him. May the Holy Ghost use the presentation of little Samuel to help us to turn over to God what God has turned over to us.